the Titans off-season preview show. Jared Stillman to Ron Davenport. That is right. And the Titans have a lot of big holes to fill. The draft, free agency, all coming up. We went over whether or not you bring back Corey Davis. We brought up, you know, how many holes there are to fill. But one position we know they'll have to fill. One position I'm not sure we know the direction they want to go in. And another position I think they're going to fill, but I don't know, are the two coordinator positions. We know with the loss of Arthur Smith to the Atlanta Falcons that they will need to sign a new offensive coordinator. Perhaps that means a new scheme. Perhaps that means elevating somebody, keeping the same scheme, or going off of that same coaching tree element of the Shanahan system that is now run, gosh, like 8 or 9 places in the league. And then there's defensive coordinator. Does Shane Bowen get elevated to the title? They've interviewed Terrell Austin of the Steelers. What do they do there? TD, what do we think about the two coordinator holes that Mike Vrabel has to fill?
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if Shane Bowen is elevated to defensive coordinator. And I know that's going to make you, you know, punch your wall. Don't do it. It's all right. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the direction that they go. Whoever they bring in, they're going to absolutely, or whoever gets that job is really going to have to be very strong at scheming up ways to get pressure, right? And scheming up ways to do it without possibly having that dominant player up front. And that's not easy to do. So I'm curious how that's going to work. There are veteran guys. Like you look at Wade Phillips, you know, he's someone that's obviously very attractive. Romeo Crennel has been there and done that. You got Jim Leonard out of Wisconsin, who clearly, you know, is really good at scheming things up. I'm curious what direction that they go. But defensive coordinator is going to be intriguing. I just wouldn't be surprised if Shane Bowen gets the role. Now, as far as offensive, or do you have feedback there?
Well, I would say on the defensive coordinator front, and I saw Gentry Estes wrote this in the Tennessean over the weekend, and it is the idea that Vrabel needs to go out and get a defensive coordinator that changes the system. You bring up Wade Phillips. That's a different system with Wade as DC. But Wade has been successful as a DC for decades in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think Vrabel's going to do it.
Right.
And Gentry said to me, he goes, don't you think after last year they need to change the system? And I said, it's not about what I think they need to do. It's what I know he's not going to do. And it's kind of like the television show, My 600-Pound Life. Like, we know what the people on that television show, like, we know what they need to do, and they know what they need to do, but that's how you get, you know, like, some people just cannot change it. I cannot see Vrabel changing the defensive system. So whoever they hire on the defensive side of the ball, I think has to come from that Patriots, Texans, Ravens kind of coaching system.
Guess who was in all three? Shane Bowen.
Yeah. Oh. Oh. And, I mean, the whole Ravens defensive coaching staff's now gone on to college.
Yeah, they got raided, didn't they?
Oh, my goodness.
And everyone went to Jacksonville, too.
And that's basically a college program.
Ooh.
So, I mean, everything there, I'm looking at it. I'm with you, TD. That one name everybody keeps bringing up is Patricia. And
no.
Matt Patricia had his problems in Detroit, which I don't know Matt Patricia that well, but just the little I do know of him, I was stunned that he and the players didn't get along. But I just wonder if Vrabel can kind of say, hey, you treat everybody in here with respect or I'll fire you on the spot. Mm. I wonder if that's the schemer that they need in Patricia to work with Vrabel. Or if they need somebody else, because I'm with you. There's a lot of, like, Jim Leonard's been great at Wisconsin for a long time. Was a good player, like Vrabel.
Yeah.
And Wade
played
Phillips.
Played for Pease, by the way.
Maybe that is the way in, that you can get him in here and he can fit into the scheme. But I don't see it. I'm with you. I think it's Bowen if it's not somebody that's off of the coaching tree of Dean Pease or Mike Vrabel or Bill Belichick.
Right. So let me ask you this. If they name Bowen the DC,
oh.
Do you think Do you think they bring in a guy? Well, actually, they brought in the assistant, right, to help out with the offensive line, the defensive, the outside linebackers. But do you think they bring in somebody else to take over?
I think that they would need to bring the trainer to my house to check in on my pulse if they name Shane Bowen defensive coordinator.
What they have to change this show to TD and Friends?
Oh, they'd have to change it to In Memoriam Jared Stillman, because I understand. Look, Vrabel, and I don't think Vrabel throws people under the bus. So I don't think that at the end of the year when he named Bowen the defensive coordinator, or didn't name him, but basically said, hey, he's been doing the job of defensive coordinator. Yeah, he just didn't have the title. I mean, I don't think he knew that he was throwing Bowen under the bus by doing it. I don't think that was his intention, but that was what it was, hey, this defense that was horrible last year, he was the one that was in charge of it. Even though I wouldn't tell you guys that for sure the entire time, just know that blame him. And to give that man a promotion, I mean, when they were the 28th defense in the league, that defense in a – world where your offense doesn't carry you to the playoffs, that kind of defense gets coach fired. And so to give him a promotion, and I would agree that the personnel on defense is a bigger problem maybe than scheming.
Exactly.
But to give that man a promotion after last year, I cannot do that.
Yeah, I mean, don't be surprised. I'll just put it that way. Don't be surprised.
Offensive side of the ball. What are we thinking there? Because the system – you know, Tannehill fits the system. Brown fits the system. Henry fits the system. The fact that they had a second year in it together that were so much better. And yet the only report I saw was Josina Anderson said the Titans reached out to Tony Elliott at Clemson to see if he would want to leave. And he said he doesn't want to leave Clemson. So I don't know what direction they're going to go in terms of replacing Arthur Smith.
That's so interesting. Because you could even break it down to internal candidates, right? I mean, all five of the guys on the staff, I feel, can do the job. So it's tough, man. It's tough. Obviously, O'Hara, Coach O'Hara and Coach Downing have done it before, O'Hara in Arena League. But you look at production, right, and what guys have gotten out of players. I know, I think it was you. If it wasn't you, I know for sure a lot of Titans fans, if it were up to them, Keith Carter would, you know, be somewhere on 65 with a can asking for change, right?
Yeah, it was me. But then I realized that he lived by me during the pandemic, and so I started to like him more.
Oh, okay. So when the stuff hit home, when it got a little more real.
We live in the same neighborhood.
I get it. You didn't want to run into him. You tell, hey, it wasn't me.
But the offensive line played a little bit better than I realized we lived in the same neighborhood. So, I'm all good with that.
I get it. That was a business decision. Shout you out.
Literally and physically, yes.
But you look at Tony Dews, what he's done with the running backs, and Rob Moore, what he's done with the receivers. All of those guys are options. I just, you know, me personally, if he doesn't get the OC job, I would love to see him come in as the quarterback's coach. And I'm not rushing Coach Pat O'Hara out of the door. What I'm saying is, let's say that Pat O'Hara got the OC job and the QB job was available. I would love to see Pep Hamilton join the staff. I think he would absolutely be a guy that could continue what was left off with Arthur Smith as far as the relationship with Ryan Tannehill. Remember, last year, or in 2019, I remember talking to Ryan Tannehill about Arthur Smith, and one of the things that he consistently said was he loved the way he allowed Tannehill to be so involved with the installation of the game plan, and he loved how open he was as far as picking what plays were up, what plays weren't for each particular week. That's something that takes a lot of confidence, first of all, you know, and a lot of self-assuredness. And I think, you know, if they could bring someone in that can continue that, that's going to be key. But you also need somebody who's going to know, okay, you know what? When we need to take this bull by the horns and absolutely gain momentum in this game and tilt it back in our favor, 22 has to get the football. That's what Arthur Smith understood. And so many people got on him for being down 14 points and still running the ball. But more times than not, that worked. They need to have that type of continuity and that type of commitment to the running game. So whoever comes in here is going to have to be, you know, one of those guys that has the stones to still do that, but also the creativity to put things together. Because you got players in A.J. Brown, Jonnu Smith. You know, if they draft a guy like Kadarius Toney or sign a guy like you mentioned, Curtis Samuel, you have to have the creativity to maximize that particular player's skill set. So it's going to take a lot to come in and get the most out of these players.
The other side of that is, what about changing the system? Darrell Bevell, there's a handful of guys out there that would change the system.
Bevell just signed with the Jaguars.
Well, then he definitely wasn't wanted here. But one of these guys that could come in and, you know, probably keep a lot of the same stuff. I mean, the end of the day, the meat and potatoes of the offense is going to be getting the ball to number 11 and number 22. I think we all know that, you know, that's the way they have success. But perhaps maybe changing it up a little bit, keeping, you know, playing to Tannehill's strengths, but having an OC who's comfortable with what he wants to call.
Yeah, I mean, that's very important, having an OC that's comfortable with what he wants to call. And that's, again, you have to be able to maximize the skill sets of the collective group of guys that you have. Yeah, you want to get the ball to 11 and 22, but you know what? You have to be able to make sure that other guys are incorporated. Look at the small set of package of plays that Coach Art had for Cam Batson. You know, and I can't wait, by the way, just it's off topic, but Olamide Zaccheaus from the Atlanta Falcons, you want an early fantasy tip? Yeah, select him. I'm just saying. But you look at that package that he had for Cam Batson, you know, or even just look at the way he was very timely with drawing up a play-action pass to Khalif Raymond. You know, being able to incorporate more than just your main guys, having other guys feel a role, and being able to keep everybody on the team satisfied, right? You never heard anybody fussing about not getting touches or not being involved. And there were games where Jonnu Smith wasn't involved enough. There were games where Corey Davis wasn't involved enough. But you never heard that type of pushback coming out of the locker room. And that's important.
So if it were up to you, would you go internal or external with the offensive coordinator hire?
I'm going Pat O'Hara as OC and Pep Hamilton as QB coach. That's the direction I would go.
Pep Hamilton, and I know not all of his jobs have worked out, but I feel like every time his name is brought up, everybody that knows Pep Hamilton has like the utmost amount of respect for him in the NFL, and I could certainly see that working out in that direction. Coming up next on the off-season preview show, we'll take a look at some of maybe the mistakes the Titans made last offseason and how they overcome them this offseason. It is the Titans offseason preview show right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Hey, Mike, where does Isaiah Wilson stand with you guys right now in terms of coming back next year and what role you see for him? And then to further out with the rookies, not only was he not out there, but Darrington, Christian, Chris, all because of injuries, probably didn't get the number of reps you maybe envisioned or hoped at the start of the year. Where do you view this rookie class as a whole at this point and how they can help you moving forward?
You know, I can't comment on Isaiah. You know, I wouldn't even begin to be able to eloquently have an answer for you, Steve. I just think, you know, with those other guys, you know, the injuries, you know, did hurt. And I also think that the offseason, you know, I feel like we put our guys, our young players, in a great position in the offseason. You know, we try to structure their day in May and June the same way that would in September and October, so that they're coming in early. You know, they're building a routine, a functioning routine of coming in early, working out, getting treatment, having breakfast, going to a meeting at the same time that we would start our team meeting and the season, you know, going to position meetings, going out on the field in some capacity, having lunch, and then going back in for meetings afterwards. And I think that builds a positive routine for these guys, and for them not to have that, I think, probably, hurts. And then the injuries, certainly set some of those players back.
That was Mike Vrabel. The draft process injuries this year, it was a very different draft process because of COVID, and obviously Isaiah Wilson. Teron Davenport, as we continue on the Titans offseason preview show, the Titans didn't get much from their draft class this past year. One, how much is there a hope that these guys like Fulton and Evans and Murchison will step into roles next year? And two, what do they do about Isaiah Wilson? And are they looking for a tackle in the draft again this year because of the uncertainty surrounding Isaiah Wilson?
I don't think it's not only a hope, it's a belief that these guys are going to contribute. I mean, this is what they were drafted for. So they absolutely believe that guys are going to contribute. When you look at a Christian Fulton, a Tierre Tart, Chris Jackson down the line, whether it be special teams or whatnot, because, Chris Milton's a free agent. So I think they believe that those guys will come in and contribute. I would definitely look at drafting the tackle. Ty Sambrelo, is going to be a free agent. He's a guy that I think gives you a lot of flexibility. He's a legitimate backup. I could see them signing him, but you can never have too many offensive linemen. And David Quesenberry will be here as well, but you could still use another tackle, whether it be a swing guy that could give you some depth at guard too. Absolutely, and that's regardless of the Isaiah Wilson situation. Jameel Douglas is someone I think will not be back, so you need to fill that role. So you could, sixth, seventh round, bring somebody in that could give you some production.
What do we make of the mistakes that the Titans made in the 2020 offseason and how some of those things came about, whether it was Clowney, Beasley, Isaiah Wilson, Jonathan Joseph? It just feels like the Titans did not, outside of the aforementioned Sambrelo, it doesn't feel like they really made a lot of progress in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot we can make of that. Clearly, I think the biggest mistake was Vic Beasley. And I think that mistake was signing Vic Beasley and not signing Marcus Golden. But to be honest with you, the mistake, in my opinion, goes back 2 years ago, and that's to Za'Darius Smith. I swear, Jared, not bringing that guy in, it still is penalizing this team. He absolutely should have been a Tennessee Titan instead of a Green Bay Packer. And I think they're still feeling the repercussions of that. So that was a mistake. But Beasley, for sure, I'm not going to call it a Clowney situation a mistake, because I think that was a very educated guess. I think that was something that, you look at and you say, okay, he was productive in this scheme before. We believe he could be productive here. But outside of that, I don't think that there were many mistakes in the draft. Everybody says get a pass rusher. Caleb Von Chasen was gone. Of course, Alex Highsmith is a guy that they could have gotten later in the third round, in fact. But I don't think they made too many mistakes in the draft and also in free agency, to tell you the truth.
I think the one that bothers me the most, Beasley bothers me because there was a lot of smoke that he didn't really love the game.
Yes, sir.
In Atlanta. Clowney bothered me because the injury history was for sure an issue that had been in his past. And kind of like the Tennessee Volunteers and how the fans, get an idea in their head, and then sometimes the idea in the fans' head, somehow, puts itself into reality. I don't think the Titans signed Clowney to come in here and get a bunch of sacks, even though that's what I think the fans thought. Clowney had never gotten a bunch of sacks in his career. I don't think he was going to start all of a sudden getting a bunch of sacks. But then when Beasley didn't get any sacks, then it became more obvious that Clowney wasn't getting any sacks, and then Clowney got hurt. And I just felt like, the combination of the two was just a really tough spot to be in. I really believe that the Wilson thing, that's the thing I can't get my head around, because if Isaiah Wilson's going through something in life, then maybe he comes out of it and plays the part of tackle. I mean, Floyd and I watched a lot of tape when, you know, everybody was stuck at home. We watched a lot of games. And Wilson, for a right tackle, had great footwork and was a good pass blocker for a right tackle. I thought he was a better pass blocker in college than Jack Conklin was at the right tackle spot. And he was athletic for a guy his size. And so, yeah, there were some questions about his weight and whether or not he'd be able to keep his weight in check when he got to the league. But not any of this stuff that's going on.
Yeah,
and so you wonder if they get that figured out. If he can get that figured out, then you wouldn't need to draft a tackle to ultimately replace Dennis Kelly. But where it stands right now, I don't know how you can count on that guy. So then maybe you do need to look at drafting a tackle in the second round or something that can ultimately be your right tackle of the future. And that's where I look at the mistakes of 2020 kind of catching up to them in 2021.
Well, I mean, hindsight is 2020. Like, we're standing here right now after seeing all of these transgressions by Isaiah Wilson and saying, hey, you know what? That was a mistake. But at the time, that seemed to be – now, it was a bit of a reach, in my opinion, right? It was a bit of a reach. I thought that Lucas Niang, a guy that this team, you know, showed interest in pre-draft, I thought he would be, you know, a second or third round option that would be better than using a first on Isaiah Wilson. But I was going like Jeff Gladney, Lucas Niang. Well, they went Isaiah Wilson, Christian Fulton. And I just think when you look at Isaiah Wilson and just coming out, there was the transfer scheme, right? Georgia uses a lot of zone concepts that were very similar to what was going on, you know, with the Titans last year. So everything just kind of, it made sense. So I think it was a good pick at the time. It was a solid pick. I won't say a good pick. It was a solid pick. I wouldn't call it a mistake because, you know, who would have known that this guy was going to have these issues that he had?
The other side of it, too, is this year's draft. And coming up next, we'll get TD's thoughts. His quick early look. Senior Bowl is next week. It'll be a different combine. It'll be a different pro day.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get who TD is looking at in the draft. We'll do that coming up next. Right here on the Titans offseason preview show, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How much of a need do you feel this team has for, you know, that guy that could really just dominate up front? You know, despite what you guys were able to do in the last couple of games as far as 8 sacks are concerned.
You know, I just think that, you know, we'll have to identify a lot of areas of focus and making sure that, you know, we do a great job of bringing guys in here that love football, that are talented, that put the team first and, you know, play with great effort and finish. But they got to love football. This is a grind. You know, this league is a grind. And, you know, so those are the types of players that we're looking for and obviously talented, Teron.
There you go, TD. Those are the kind of players they're looking for. Now is it's time to turn our attention to the draft, and still a lot of draft process to go. Measurements to be taken, medicals to be done. It will be totally different for the 2021 NFL Scouting Combine. Pro days now become infinitely more important, and the Senior Bowl this weekend as well. But TD, you asked, he said what they're looking for. Now what are you looking for in the draft, one of your favorite times of the year?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that you're going to need to be on the hunt for. I'm just looking for guys that could come in and contribute right away at positions like edge, like receiver. I think when you look at some of the guys available, like we can look at the receiver position. And the thing that I like about this is there are different flavors, right? And if you get a creative coordinator like they need to bring in, you look at some of the guys, whether it's Kadarius Toney, Rondell Moore, Louisville, Tutu Atwell. You know, these are guys that you could really just use in a way to just create mismatches and just find different opportunities to get those free yards, that catch the ball behind the line of scrimmage and get you 10 to 15 yards.
You put a guy like Rondell Moore on the same field with A.J. Brown, you put him in the slot.
Yeah.
Because he's more of kind of like the Derek Mason type receiver who can literally play each position and play them all well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that they could light it up.
He's a very good player.
The Titans are picking 22nd in the draft. Let's start with the number one need, the edge rushing position. Now, very rarely do you find the impact guy day one right there in the draft at 22, but what is kind of the makeup of the 2021 draft at the edge position?
Yeah, there's a bunch of players that could come in and help, and that's day one and day two, even into day three. If you go at 22, I could see, you know, Joseph Asai being there, Patrick Jones being there, and these are both guys that –
Where are they from?
Joseph Asai from Texas, Patrick Jones from Pittsburgh. And if you get a chance to watch Pittsburgh tape, definitely make sure you do that, because there's a couple guys. Because Rashad Weaver is another one that, you know, he's more of like that Jack Crawford type of player where, you know, you're not going to really have him stand up and rush the passer off the edge. But he'll definitely give you solid snaps at five tech, which, hey, you could obviously use that. But Patrick Jones, I think, is probably the best fit, 6'5", 260. And you've seen him play in multiple spots where he plays both sides. You know, he can stand up, hand in the dirt. He fits perfectly with that scheme versatility that Mike Vrabel wants. But then also, he is a guy, you watch him play, you can tell he loves football. You know, Joseph Asai is another one. I think he has a good opportunity to come in and be an instant impact player. You talk about juice, you know, getting off the ball and the way that he's able to do that. That's outstanding, too. This is a good class, man. Zaven Collins, as I mentioned, he's another one that's really good. So you'll have your pick of the litter, so to speak. And I think it's a good opportunity for the Titans to add an impact player along the edge.
What do we think about tight end in this year's class? Because Jonnu Smith, Jeff Swaim, and Mykole Pruitt are unrestricted free agents. Anthony Firkser is a restricted free agent. I feel pretty confident they're going to bring back at least one of the unrestricted guys, and they're definitely going to bring back Firkser again as a restricted free agent. But perhaps second, third round, they could look to fill a hole at tight end. And we've seen a lot of second and third round tight ends come in and pay immediate dividends in the NFL.
Yeah, well, hey, let me ask you, did you like it when the Titans had Delanie Walker and Jonnu Smith on the field together?
Oh, my God, I loved it.
Yeah, so you could do that again this year. Like, you could bring that back. And I think Brevin Jordan, you talk about second and third round, the tight end out of Miami. You watch him play, and he fits that angry runner type of theme that A.J. Brown and even Corey Davis, as well as obviously Derrick Henry and Jonnu Smith, he fits that mold of, like, when he catches the ball, like, you want to just make those sounds, poof, 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 because that's what he does. Like, he runs through tackles, and he's a really good yards after the catch player. And I could just picture, you know, having those guys, you line up in two tight end sets and you motion them outside or you do whatever, it gives you a lot of flexibility. So I would definitely look at a guy like a Brevin Jordan coming in and helping out. It would be reminiscent of that Delanie Walker and Jonnu Smith combination that they had in 2019 and 18.
What do we think about this draft strengths, and maybe what are some positions that might be a little weak in 2021's class?
Strengths to me, and we're seeing this every year because of so much 7-on-7 as far as the camps and those type of things. Wide receiver, it's very strong there. Top to bottom, I mean, you know, Rashad Bateman, Tylan Wallace, Nico Collins, Anthony Schwartz from Auburn, Olympic-level speed. These are all guys that you could get, you know, on day two and day three. Top to bottom, I think receiver is really good. As I mentioned, edge is really shaping into a nice group. Cornerback, I think that position leaves a lot to be desired. Running back is so-so, but as far as what the Titans need, I think, you know, cornerback is a position where I'm not so sure that they'll be selecting.
I wonder in this draft if it's going to be harder to really get a feeling for the players, considering the Big Ten only played so many games this year, and the SEC, you had certain teams only play 9 games as opposed to a regular season 12. And then even some of the smaller conferences didn't play at all. And we can laugh about a smaller conference, but A guy like Anthony Firkser played in a smaller conference. Jonnu Smith played in a smaller conference. They're not all Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. So I do wonder how that's going to affect how these general managers prepare, knowing that they're not going to have as much tape or the hands-on ability throughout the draft process.
Yeah, that's – you still have tape that you could go back to from previous years. So you'll have film to evaluate. I mean, I've already gotten my film, and you know, we got the Dropbox full of stuff. So I'm sure if I could get it, these guys could get it. So that shouldn't be too much of a concern. I could see where you're going just as far as, like, having fresh tape to look at. But the big thing for me is going to be, like, for evaluators like Coach Vrabel, who likes to go in there and put his hands on guys and, as he mentioned, feel their strength. I think that's going to be an area that will obviously be different because you can't truly do that, right? You can't have that type of contact with them. So that's where the main thing would be. There are some GMs, you know, I don't know what John Robinson has done, but there are some GMs that have hit the road heavily and actually went to games, a lot more games than normal, just because they had a feeling that this combine thing, you know, this offseason was going to be different. So it's definitely going to be, you know, you have to really rely on your scouts. You have to really, you know, rely on people who have consistently had eyes on a lot of these prospects. And that's really going to be the main thing.
How much do you think the Titans can fix some of their problems with the draft this year and guys that could come in and play right away? Is it a, you know, first and second rounds, they could probably get guys that can play? Or is this maybe a deeper draft where, you know, John Robinson pulls out Kevin Byard, who ends up being an all-pro in the third round?
Well, that's going to be interesting. I'm not sure that they'll be able to pull out somebody like a Kevin Byard in the third round. But it's like I said, it goes back to certain positions that have depth. That's what you have to look at. It's going to be different. That's the bottom line because – you know, like Kevin Byard, that situation was one that was really good because you had Coach Stockstill who was able to sell Byard to, you know, the Titans. Then you had the local pro day, right, where they were able to come and you know, these local prospects were able to come to the facility and have that work out there. So you got hands-on. And I think that's going to be the major difference. It's going to be a lot tougher to find diamonds in the rough, but if you're leaving – no stones unturned, you could definitely still find those guys. I without a doubt believe that.
Coming up next, we'll take a quick look at the rest of the teams in the AFC South. Are the Titans in a great spot as far as their division is concerned? TD is with us. It's the Titans offseason preview show right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Hey, listen up, football fans. I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. And it's the same game parlay bet available on my official sportsbook, the FanDuel Sportsbook app. A same game parlay bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during conference championship weekend. You can combine the money line, the over-under, and player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you protect your parlay. That's right. You can place a 3-plus same-game parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. The playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. It's just one of many ways you can win on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app because it's easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet, and when you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. If you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started using my promo code JGM at the sign-up. That's promo code JGM at sign-up. If you're a current customer, you're all set. Go check out the same-game parlays, only available on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older. Present in Tennessee. Refund issue is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund is $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Or problem gambling report, call 1-800-889-9789.
The Houston Texans think and are hopeful that they can convince Deshaun Watson that he should come back to Houston. And when you talk to people around the league, Deshaun Watson wants out and is going to try to move on. And I think in this particular case, if Deshaun Watson is willing to dig in, he's going to get what he wants. Because if he doesn't show up there and he makes his feeling known and he demands a trade, or he withholds his services, or does any one of a number of things for the Houston Texans, he will let it be known that he intends to move on. And that's going to be a difficult situation.
That was Adam Schefter talking about the Deshaun Watson continued drama in Houston. TD, we got a lot of news this week in the AFC South. Urban Meyer and eventually Trevor Lawrence will be getting their NFL career started in Jacksonville. Phillip Rivers has retired in Indianapolis. Indianapolis has also lost their offensive coordinator, Nick Sirianni, to the Philadelphia Eagles to be their head coach. Now, I want to say I know nothing about Sirianni, so I don't feel like I should be able to judge this. But how does that guy get a job before Eric Bieniemy?
Bruh, I don't know, man. It's funny because my mother, she sent me a text. You know, what do you know about this Sirianni guy other than that he's from the Colts? And I had to, you know, I had to send her the emoji back, the one where you just got your hands in the air saying you don't know. You know, because I really don't know anything about him myself. But, yeah, it's crazy. You know, I think it's unfortunate that Eric Bieniemy didn't get a job, you know, so far, because there's still one more left. I guess you could throw out the whole thing about Bieniemy not calling plays, though, right? Because we know
Nick's... Doesn't Wright call the plays?
Exactly. So
Wright calls the plays in Indianapolis. So we could say Bieniemy doesn't call the plays.
When in fact he does call plays, because Andy Reid has consistently allowed his coordinators to call plays. You know, and it just cracks me up how that same conversation wasn't had when we talk about Matt Nagy or Doug Peterson. So here's the thing. You know how you go to Dave and Buster's and you're shooting on that basket, and you know what it does, right? It just continues to shift. So one time it'll be on your right, the other time it's on the left, it'll stay in the center. That's how things go with this whole Eric Bieniemy thing. Every time there's one reason that's brought up, and that one is punched through, there's another reason that's brought up. You know, you want to talk about his past? Okay, yeah. Granted, there are blemishes on his past, but, you know, let's talk about Urban Meyer. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, Urban's never coached a second in the NFL.
I'm talking about quote unquote off the field stuff. You see what I'm saying? So
sure,
it just is interesting how it works. What's the corporate term? Shift the paradigm. It consistently shifts when you're evaluating Eric Bieniemy. But the bottom line is his horse crap.
Well, I wonder if Deshaun Watson is the angle in Houston. I think the Titans should win the AFC South this year, because if Deshaun gets his way out of Houston, they're a mess. Indianapolis has no quarterback. Now, they may trade for Matthew Stafford or draft somebody, but there's not an obvious, you know, there's not a Tom Brady they can go out and sign like Tampa Bay did this past offseason. And Jacksonville is Jacksonville and, you know, rookie coach, rookie quarterback. I wonder if Deshaun Watson, because every single insider is saying the same thing. He's not taking their calls. He doesn't want to talk to them. He doesn't want to come back. He doesn't want to be a part of that mess. I wonder if Deshaun is using all of his leverage, which he has earned, if he's using that to get them to hire Eric Bieniemy, because he's looking at it like I think we're both looking at it, saying nobody's going to hire this guy, and I'm going to make sure that this guy gets a job. Because if they try to hire somebody other than him, it's going to be somebody who might be a disaster, and I'm not doing that anymore. And I know that Bieniemy has got the recommendation of Patrick Mahomes, and I know that Bieniemy has been a good offensive coordinator in Kansas City, so either you pick him or I'm gone. And I wonder if that's why Houston is waiting, because they're going to have to wait until Kansas City is done before they could name Bieniemy the coach, even though I doubt the owner or the GM actually wants to hire him. But Deshaun may be saying, hey, you want me? You bring him in.
Bieniemy also has a recommendation of Andy Reid, who said that he hopes that he doesn't go to a team that he has to go against consistently. So, yeah, it's there. But I'll say this much. I don't want Bieniemy going to Houston. And here's why. If he goes to Houston, he's walking into a situation that's just it's a dumpster fire, right? They don't have draft picks. They don't have cap space. There's not a lot of things that they could do to finagle to build a lot of cap space. That's going to be a tough situation. And then also, remember, initially they didn't even want to interview this guy. So, look, props to Deshaun Watson for pushing for Bieniemy to get interviewed. But guess what? If they didn't want him in the first place, you know what's going to happen? The second something goes wrong, the second they're not 9-7, he's going to be gone. And then everybody's going to be like, see, I told you. So, for me, I don't want him in that situation, just frankly.
Well, I think if they don't hire Bieniemy, I don't think Deshaun's staying. I mean, I think he legitimately is getting his way out.
Where's
of
he go? And where's he go?
So the Jets.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Jets. I'm with you on that.
So the only thing that, and I know that like people get mad when the guy on Twitter says after taxes, but it does matter when you're making $40 million and you go from Texas that has no state income tax to New York that has, you know, the New York state income taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder that Deshaun is a superstar, but you go to New York and you rescue the Jets and you are first ballot Hall of Famer. Not that, I mean, he's probably going to Hall of
Go
Fame anyways.
Jacket.
You are the savior of New York. And if you're the savior of New York, I mean, what else do you have to do? So I think the Jets, and the question for me with the Texans is, do you like Sam Darnold at all? Because if you like Darnold, then the trade's easy. You get Darnold to be your quarterback. You get the number two pick. You then flip that to somebody who wants Fields. And then you just stockpile a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
And that makes up for your lack of picks that you've stupidly given away over the years. But I think so. The Jets make the most sense. Deshaun's got the no trade clause and he can just not show up. Patriots for Deshaun Watson.
Hey, I mean, it's definitely possible. But just real quick on the Jets thing, and you turn around and sign Allen Robinson. Talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but the Patriots, I think that's an opportunity. But what about the 49ers? You get Jimmy Garoppolo and you get draft picks. They have plenty of cap space. It could fit there, too. And you get him out of the AFC.
If Matthew Stafford doesn't go to Indianapolis and if Deshaun Watson leaves Houston, I don't see how the Titans don't win the division next year.
I agree, man. I agree. Even if Matthew Stafford goes to the Colts, I think there's a good chance that they could still win the division. But that Colts defense is stupid.
Oh, I wonder if Stafford could get the Tannehill treatment, which is, you know, we think this of Stafford in Detroit right now, but then you get him in a good organization with a great defense and a good running game, and all of a sudden Matthew Stafford's not behind that offensive line breaking his ribs every year, and he looks like a decent quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. They better find a left tackle, though. You know,
that is true.
There is talk that the great Quentin Nelson will move to left tackle, so if they do that, then they better find a left guard. But it's going to be interesting.
That's the Titans offseason preview show. Thank you for tuning in. This has been, thank you, TD. This has been ESPN 102.5, The Game.